You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, it is the biggest episode that we have ever put out because today we are joined by World Cup champions.
Royalty. Soccer royalty. Yes, absolutely.
Just regular royalty, to be honest.
Yeah. We shouldn't have to say the names because who cares if we didn't get invited to their wedding? We invited them on our show and they actually came. Ladies and gentlemen, Ali Krieger and Ashlyn Harris are going to be on the show tonight.
Unbelievable. So tune in. So all this and more today on the
Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Ali Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
What? Holy smokes. Alexis, you seem more excited than usual.
Buddy, I've had what amounts to 4 Cuban coffees. I've slept for 10 hours, which my body doesn't understand why. I woke up and I was completely naked. I don't know what happened, but I was snoring and there was my own drool on my chest. And I say all that to suggest that I'm going to be alone forever.
But somebody decided to marry you. Anyway, yeah, hello.
Luckily.
Hello. Welcome to the show. We're absolutely thrilled today. Hello. And just for people, if you're watching for the first time, hello. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. And first of all, I should apologize for everything I just said if this is the first time you're watching. But I'm Alexis Guerreros, okay. And you can't see them yet, but we have the greatest guests we have been able to. I mean, when they said there was a quarantine, I thought, you know what? Good, because that means no one's going to be able to go out, and we're going to be able to get some of the most high profile guests possible. It doesn't get more high profile in soccer than this.
Exactly, it is pretty much our trap to be able to get them on this show. But after months we had the initial appearance by one of the guests on our podcast when we were in Chicago
for the Coaches Conference.
Exactly. And while we were there, we had to basically, I don't know, guilt her or, to get her to
finesse
be on the,
is the term we like to use in New York. We finesse.
Beg, please do this.
Her handlers were like, please put her on our show 5 minutes. Please put her on our show 5 minutes. Please put her on our show 5 minutes. Well, now we got the whole team. We got the whole squad.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Please, Alexis, introduce our esteemed guest today.
What do you mean? I don't even. I used to say you should know them from the. You should know who they are, okay? Because they're absolutely amazing. Even if you don't like soccer, you know this content is gold, bitch. You know that. My two favorite people in all of soccer, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? Park your fucking cars. Put your hands together and clap real loud. I want your kids to clap. I don't care if they're infants. Teach them how to do this. I want the dogs to clap on their hind legs. You hear what I'm saying? For the absolute greatest couple in all of soccer, ladies and gentlemen, Ashlyn Harris, Ali Krieger. Put your hands together right now.
Yes. There you go. Wow.
Yo, with the Scarface shirt, by the way. With the Scarface shirt from my Cubanos out there. What's up?
Yes. We all know Al Pacino, the famous Cuban.
Yeah. Well, here's what you don't know. He's now inducted into the Cuban Hall of Fame, okay? You gave us something to be proud of besides cigars. Let's go.
Love that.
Ali and Ashlyn, thank you so much for joining us. I know these are, not the best of circumstances. Yeah. But, given that, the tone and everything is incredibly serious at the moment, we have to ask you, obviously, the obvious question. Why weren't the Cooligans invited to your wedding? Let's just get it out of the way.
I can answer this. What do you mean? You didn't get the invite? Did you get lost in the mail or what?
When we heard people were going, I thought what People Magazine was going to cover it, I started to do ab crunches. I was getting prepared.
Ali gave me all the envelopes and I was looking, I was like, who the fuck are
they? Also, we need to cover something, and this is very important. We saw each other at the ICC Futures Tournament. And that was absolutely amazing, right? You guys just, I mean, you show up, it's like the Beatles showing up, you know? We got microphones, we're wearing hair and makeup, nobody even knows who we are, okay? I think a child mushed me in the face to get me out of the way so they could see me better. And I was, I don't know where that girl got all that strength. She's 4 years old. But when we first saw each other, they were holding you guys like sort of in like the celebrity area. So everyone kept saying like, Allie and Ashlyn here. And we're like, where are they? They're our friends. And then we did not capture this on camera. And Christian has gone out and asked everyone who was part of the production crew, everyone, but can you please, people think I'm lying. Ashlyn, when you saw me, did you not run and jump into my arms? And by the way, scare the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I thought it was our Dirty Dancing moment.
The fear I had in my head of like,
Don't drop her.
She just won a World Cup. Please don't drop her.
And
and it was like a full commitment. Like I committed to that.
Yeah.
You were wearing a shirt that said futures. All of a sudden I saw the word futures just climbing. I'm like, no.
You know, and we have to say, like, it's incredible. You guys are so kind to us, and you know, we'll, if we post something or talk about you guys, you guys share it, and we have this. You know, when we started this podcast, we didn't think we would be friends with Ashlyn Harris and Allie Krieger, right? Nah. That didn't cross our minds.
We didn't either.
You know, but when we met Allie in Chicago, the one thing, especially as comedians, we were like, yo, Allie Krieger is one of the funniest human beings we've ever met. So clearly we see.
Aren't I? You really are.
So
for wind down nights every.
Yeah, this should have been a happy hour.
So one thing, I'm because Allie's so funny.
Hey, hold on. No one's stopping you from getting a little bit of booze right now. So go for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Trust me. I know. Nothing has stopped her since things started.
Every minute of the day is Saturday night. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm like, who wants to have a virtual happy hour? Anyone? Yeah, yeah. Just me? Okay.
So, it's just you in the mirror. Hold on. Yeah.
No, I was
cheers, happy hour. Cheers. Yeah. Ching, ching, guys.
I was curious because we're both comics, and you know, Alexis's wife and my girlfriend are not comedians, but what tends to happen when people date comedians or people who are very funny is that people tend to get very annoyed with them. Like the luster, the shine of it loses its appeal very quickly. So Ashlyn, I'm curious, do you ever find Allie being a little corny, or you don't like her jokes, or you get tired of it?
No.
She steals all my jokes and therefore makes more friends.
I gotta be honest. Hey. I find my wife's friends are like, oh my God, she's so funny. I'm like, yeah, she's saying all the shit I've already said. Yeah, I've gone out and done it in front of audiences. She takes notes on what actually gets laughed.
Right.
She repeats it to you. Right.
She must just look better doing it. I don't know.
Oh, it's just my guess. By a lot. So First of all, there's not a high bar. Okay.
Did you ever get annoyed at my joke?
I don't get annoyed of you.
Okay, good. That's good to know. Also, we should ask the serious stuff. How are you guys handling the quarantine? What are you guys doing to pass the time? Do you guys hate each other yet? You know?
No. No, we don't.
You hate the dogs yet?
Seriously, we're just like enjoying resting. Like we never get time to chill. We're never home. So for the first week, Allie and I were like, we slept most of the day away, and we haven't had that kind of sleep in probably 10 years. So it's been really nice. And now we're just like back on the grind. We're working out every day. We're, you know, hanging out with the dogs. We're getting stuff done around the house because we just moved into a new house. And it's, we're trying to just organize before, you know, all the stuff, you know, passes and season starts, and we won't have time to do it.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a great point, because when you guys finished the World Cup, it seems like your media sort of, you know, a tour hasn't finished. It's just on and on and on to the point where, you know, I know multiple people that don't really care about soccer at all. Obviously, know you guys won, but they know you guys. You guys are like icons now, whether it's fashion, whether it's because of your relationship, for so many reasons. You guys are icons. You guys are people that look at. You haven't really been able to sort of relax. Were you at least able to take some of that time, or you could just be like, pull the plug, your agent calls, be like, I'm not even answering. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we've actually, that first week after the She Believes cut, when we got home, we had actually business that we did that weekend and then flew home from there.
All right. It's fun. You're not the guest. Jesus.
Wow. Are we putting you up for sale? No, so that first week, it was really nice because we just literally did nothing and took kind of like a mental break. And then now we're like, okay, just kind of getting in a routine and getting in the schedule. And I think that's like what's so healthy for us, is because we can wake up, we're like, all right, we have a set time that we're going to work out. We have a set time that we're going to do this and that. We're going to go and take the dogs on a walk or take them here or there. We're going to go to the grocery store.
Well, get the dogs on a TV show. That's an option too.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's been like, it's actually been really nice mentally to take this break, because we haven't really had that in the past year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the World Cup and everything. So honestly, I think this has been kind of a time where we can settle down and then be like, make actually for each other, make a choice of when we want to get back into things and when we want to start working out again. And like, I think that's been really refreshing for us.
Okay. I don't know what that whole working out again part is. That again really confuses me. We were talking a little bit about your schedule. For some reason, and maybe this is just specific because you've won the World Cup, but it seems like if you're a woman soccer player at a certain level, at a high, high level, it just never ends. You know, as soon as one competition ends, you got to start training for the next one. I mean, you know, poor Alex Morgan, 7 months pregnant, and she's ripping shots to get ready for the next thing. You know, like, what is this? How do you think this delay is sort of going to change that? And with everything pushed to the next year, does that sort of change how you train?
Yeah, for sure. You know, originally we were super stressed because you know, everything was pretty much on lockdown. All of our facilities were closed down. The fields were closed down. And we've been in preseason now for almost like 4 or 5 months, like building for this Summer Olympics. And all of a sudden everything was put on hold. And we, you know, still, we don't know how long this is going to last. So there was a lot of stress there for a while of, we've put so much time and effort, like, how are we going to continue to build our fitness base and can, you know, continue to build our technical ability if we don't have access to anything? And it is, the Olympics were supposed to be right around the corner. So I think that was super stressful. And now that it has been pushed back to next summer, now we have time to build that all back up without putting ourselves in jeopardy. Because a lot of times now, for us to go for a run, it's out on the concrete, and that's not a reality in our sport. And, you know, joints and knees, and we just got to really be smart during this time to make sure we stay healthy, we stay clearly ticking over, but not jeopardizing like our health just to get a few runs in on concrete outside.
Yeah, for
sure. It gives me some time to buy a cane, or at least look for a nice one. For next year.
I didn't know Ellie is pimping this year. Yeah.
She's gonna be running up and down that plank with a iced out cane.
I'd love to see that.
As far as the NWSL season, I don't know. I imagine you guys don't have any more information than the public, but why, how do you think it will, do you have any preference on what should happen? Do you think, you know, should the season be condensed? Should all the games be played? What do you think would be the best approach as athletes and for your health?
What about just a big old rock, paper, scissors? You know what I mean? Over Zoom, dog.
Duke it out over FIFA, or like, where are we?
Okay.
Let's go.
I think, like, for us, obviously, our safety and health is most important, and that's paramount for everyone in the NWSL and the MLS and every league in the world, and for every sport. So that is, like, you know, first and foremost. Of course, do we want to play? Yes. I want to play every single day, every weekend. I want to be a part of that. But if it is, you know, kind of a detriment to, you know, our health and our safety, then, like, obviously we're not going to do it. But I hope that there's somewhat of a, you know, 2020 season, just to try and make this year a little bit better than how it started. But obviously we can't force that, and we have to make sure that, you know, things are healthy and safe for us to be able to train again.
Of course.
We can't even train in like small groups. We can't even barely train individually because, you know, the parks are closed and the playgrounds are closed and facilities are closed. And we just, you know, we don't want to sacrifice getting injured by running out on the pavement or uneven grass.
Yeah.
So it's really been, it's been really difficult to try and,
It hasn't been too difficult because I've seen you training online with the goalkeeper.
The ping pong ball.
She always thinks she can one-up me. This is the one time I'm going to own it.
And you have one hand. So,
right? And I'm like, nah, this
she's
looks
like,
easy.
Turn
let
it
me
down.
See it.
Turn it down. Speed is too fast. Yeah.
I'm like, let me see this shit. Doesn't look. This
what is it?
Right
it's a
all.
Machine that's throwing it?
Yeah. It it's like it? A ping pong machine. So it like shoots it out.
If you put that thing like on that me, I'd stab that machine. Who are you to throw these ping pongs at me so fast?
First of all,
I was laughing. I mean, we talk about someone who's so super athletic who looked.
So unathletic.
I was shook.
Well, I didn't really know what to expect. Trying to like defend myself, but I was just like, I don't even know where this ball is gonna go. Is it gonna go low? Is it gonna go high? Is it gonna like shoot right at my
it
face?
Starts to
like,
whiffle on you, you know?
Because it varies.
Yeah. So it has top spin. It has back spin. Yeah. And it's got just this like a zinger. And she's like, it's spinning too low. And I'm like, well, that's the point. Otherwise, you just literally be like this.
But the end
is this for goalkeeper training, or did you just buy this thing on wish.com or something?
Hand-eye coordination.
I've seen like hockey goalies do similar stuff as well. But Ashton, I'll give you a lot of
Where did you see that? Why are you seeing these?
I've seen that before. Did you see the movie Miracle? There was one scene where he was juggling balls off the wall. It helps the goalies.
Yeah. My YouTube is all like brisket. You know, my algorithm is like I don't know. If there's a cheese pull, my algorithm's like, who knows? Look, if it's got cheese, he'll watch it. You know, YouTube gave up on me years ago.
But Ashlyn, I'll give you credit because you are known to be this more like boisterous person who's in people's faces. But when you are doing that drill, you look like a serial killer. You are just like boom, boom, boom.
My eyes get this big.
You know,
I mean, Allie's like, you're not even looking at the ball. I'm like.
Yeah,
her phone's like running out of battery and she goes one more time, can you videotape this one more time? That wasn't good.
What I love is when we met you guys at the U.S. Women's Media Day here in New York, and it was the first time that I'd spoken to you, Ashlyn, and I was like, I got out of that conversation, I was like, what a sweetheart, you know? And then I saw a clip of you training, I'm like, that's not the same person. Okay. Did that person just watch their partner die? You know what I mean? As like a cop, you know, and like you're like the vendetta at the end of the movie. Like your eyes were like steel, dude. You didn't blink. And I was like, how are those two the same person?
It's so. You should see me at after hours.
Oh my God. You should see her yelling at me during the game. I'm like, oh my God.
If you would have saw me on my Peloton workout today, you'd really think I was a little.
Is it difficult to kind of parse that and, you know, keep the personal and professional relationship, especially you guys play on the same team. You're close to each other, you know, as far as positioning. Is it difficult to not take, you know, one of those goalkeeper, you know, being berated too personally?
Also, while you answer it, I'm going to Google the word parse. Go ahead.
Honestly, all the time, I don't take it personal. No, like anything that anyone says to me on the field, I'm like, I don't take it personal because we're all kind of in the moment and we're so intense and we're the best at what we do. So it's really, and we're all perfectionists. So like, you can understand that, but you know, something happens and I know that maybe if she yells at me, but it was kind of like her mistake, but I'm not really going to say that. She doesn't make mistakes too often or ever. But if there's this one time where she's like, you didn't play my left foot, you played to my right foot. So I'm going to need you to like play it to my, I'm like, well, it was kind of like a tweener. Like you could have shifted your body a little bit to like, you know, so I like sometimes on those, yeah. I'm like,
I give her the look.
But just,
I'll get this like look and
of disgust.
And I'm like,
it's just your marriage arguments are just a slightly different than traditional marriage arguments.
Every game, she's after every game, After, yes, I am. After every game and every training, we have a 20-minute drive back home. Yeah. That's when you get to let it all out. You get to talk. As soon as we get out of the door and we get home, it's done.
If I did that, my neighbors would be like, why is Alexa circling the block 1,000 times?
We're still here with Ali Krieger and Ashlyn Harris, winners of the World Cup, the most recent World Cup. We should just talk about that for a moment, and let's reminisce a little bit, because that World Cup was just unreal, unbelievable for us as fans. You know, we were at the parade cheering you guys on, obviously watching all the games. You know, we had, you know, let's start with the fact that Alexis mentioned the media day, and the fact that you, especially Ali, when you were there. One of the things you said to us, and I have no idea if it was a joke or not, but you were like, thank you so much for helping me get back on the team. And
everyone who heard that's like, she's got the worst trainers. Look at that guy.
So what was the experience like? And obviously, and getting called up again and winning the whole damn thing. There was just some unbelievable moment, so that nearly like brought me to tears and stuff. So while you know, if you could you know, kind of paraphrase or figure out like how to kind of encapsulate everything that just happened in that World Cup, what would you say?
I mean, it was so rewarding. I think that, you know, everyone saw, I mean, how I think incredibly motivated and driven that we all were at that tournament to want to succeed. And I think that we did it with such class. And I thought that we took one game at a time and we absolutely crushed it. And we were really, really focused, and we kind of stayed within that bubble to not kind of allow any of the outside noise affect any mentality and motivation that we had to kind of have this understanding of where we wanted to be, which was in the final again, and to win. And so I think that the team was filled with a bunch of incredible veterans and younger players. There was some mix in the middle, but I think we all got along so well, and we had a certain respect for each other that really allowed everyone to be themselves and to thrive and bring their individual magic, which I think really helped the team succeed, which I don't know if that was the case in the previous World Cup. So that was really refreshing to be a part of a team that was so open and honest, and everyone kind of trusted each other to be themselves and perform at their best. And we needed every single player in the tournament to win. And we saw that, and we were able to rest players when we needed to rest. And the players who got an opportunity really stepped up and did their job and did it really well. So I think that was also a credit to all the training and the mentality that we have as players, because I feel like everyone on our team is a starter. It's just really hard to, you know, make the starting 11, because not every coach, you know, values everyone the same. So I just feel like when people stepped up in their moment, they really did. And that is why we succeeded.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to play? Because everyone was, France, right? You play France, you body France, right? And then after that, right? I could say that. I watched it, right? After that, I know you guys have made me not be able to say it, but after you see that, after you play a game that has all sort of all the chips on it, right? And you win. How do you keep, and again, this is coming from a Knicks fan who watched the Knicks beat teams like Miami or Indiana and then lose in the next round, because that was the one that everyone was waiting for. How do you keep that focus? You know what I mean? Is it like naivety, or you just don't think about it? Because it's impossible, because I'd be like, who else you got? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we knew like that was going to be the turning point, that we were going to, our job was to make those fans of France, our fans moving forward. And I guess the biggest thing I was shocked by, and it was so incredible, is we had so many US fans like there that every time we stepped on the field, it was like this new excitement. It wasn't this like terrifying, like people loved us there. And it made the environment like really enjoyable. And it was like everyone was just totally vibing off the crowds.
Yeah.
And I just think no matter if we were playing France or England or Netherlands, for us, we always had one thing in mind, and that was winning. So just beating France wasn't enough. Like, these girls are savages. Like, we were hungry. I mean, the first game we played, like, you could tell we were just going to be fucking savages the entire tournament. And we didn't care what people thought of us. We didn't care what the media had to say. We were just like owning the entire moment, owning every single game, and like nothing was going to stop us. So it didn't matter if it was France, it didn't matter if it was England or Spain or Netherlands. Like, we were hungry.
Yeah. Alexis also gets very hungry, but the more basic definition of the word.
No, but you, when I'm making a sandwich, the intensity, I'm a different person, you know? In fact, wait, I have like tomatoes that get thrown at me, you know what I mean? And I put them down. That's onion. That's tomato.
Different plate.
Yeah, different plate. You got to chop it up if you
Burrito.
Want to. Yes, that I'm like, ah.
Well, you, Ali, you mentioned the having that mentality cohesion with the group. You know, as fans, and especially being on social media during all of this, there was so. How do you maintain that mentality when there was so much trash being said and delivered towards you,
and unfortunately, sometimes from the highest offices?
I mean. What a nutbag. Yeah, honestly, women can multitask. That's my answer. And we were able to compartmentalize, and we're able to do our job, kind of zone in to the moment, whatever we want to, you know, jump in on Twitter, or we want to go on Instagram, and we, during that moment, that specific tournament, you know, and say our piece, and then get out of there, log out, and just refocus on the task at hand. So it's not very difficult for us to do that. I think we do it really well. And I think that Ash and I talk about this all the time. It's so inspiring to be around such powerful, badass women all the time who inspire each other to want to speak their truth and to want to talk about issues that they believe in and to want to, you know, speak when we have this platform, especially at the highest stage, you know, the biggest sport in the world, tournament
called,
in the world.
It's called going full Rapinoe.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, she full footsteps and really supporting her and supporting each other and just like, I don't know, speaking her truth. And it feels really good.
We lost you for a second there, but we got you back, which is important. So we got most of what you said there, which is great.
Oh, girl.
That was a sign.
Yeah.
Time for
who controls this thing? Is it the White House? You know? Who's got it? He's like, what they say?
He's like,
yes, they do. Like, trying to save some lives. We got more with Ali and Ashley when we get back after this. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Just want to bring you with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you, and maybe even Ali Krieger.
Correct. Yes, Gully Squad has been litter than ever.
It's wild, Liddy. In fact, some of us, people came in and said, hey, we heard you were having a party. You're going to get a ticket because of coronavirus. I said, no. It's just Gully Squad. They said, all right, well, then please continue. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Okay. And then I tipped my cap to the officer. Gully Squad has been, again, especially during this quarantine, we've spoken about how it is more than just just getting some extra content. It is becoming a very much a full-fledged community of people sharing ideas, sharing stories of comedy, everything. So yes, you may have heard recently we did the first Gully Squad happy hour, and that wasn't even us, that was just the Gully Squad members putting that together. Shout out to Peter Garcia who had the idea initially, and
he wanted to get drunk with other members and let's go, you know.
Yeah.
And let me
yeah.
tell you something, I think it started around what, 6 p.m. It started at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
I logged back in at like 11:30 and it was still happening,
dude. bro. That's how we do it. Gully Squad, bro.
Gully Squad. It ain't called Softy Squad, my guy.
Okay.
Also, I mean, how did you know my nickname in high school?
Yeah, that's the Mr. Softy truck subscriber service.
Actually, I got it after prom. It was a really, first time drinking whiskey. It was a lot.
Yeah, I hate that it stuck. I'll be honest. Yeah. No, but if you wanna, yes, the Gully Squad happy hour was unbelievable, and we had a special guest join us, Ali Krieger of the Orlando Pride and the U.S. Women's National Team, two-time World Cup champion, just hopping in Zoom calls with us.
Christian, how many other podcast fan group Zoom happy hours do you think two-time World Cup winners be hopping into, or someone on the cover of People magazine?
I can't look. I'm rifling through all my paperwork. You hear it, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to get through it. I honestly cannot find anything. I have the records.
I'm trying to add it up right now, and you can hear my calculator with the paper. You can hear it going. Ding. There it is. And look, it says zero. The number is zero. So you can stop rifling through all your paperwork with your what are the printer with that all the paper was like
for, the
like
dot matrix. Yes. Dot matrix.
Yes, your dot matrix paper. You can stop looking at it, dude.
No, but I can't let it go.
No, keep it. For sure, keep it, because you need the records for 7 years for tax reasons. What I'm saying is you can stop rifling through it for this.
Okay. We'll get through this break then. Yeah. Look, that those are some of the things that are possible if you join Gully Squad. There's a lot of fun. Not only is just cool content, but fun surprises like that. And we are actively trying to, make it more than just just sending you an extra 20 minutes of a podcast a week or a month or whatever. We're trying to offer Gully Squad members a genuinely fun experience, similarly to what we get to have. We're trying to put out something really, really fun and cool. And it's
all the stuff we would have wanted when we were just soccer fans and didn't have a podcast or a TV show.
Totally.
This is what I would have loved to have been, hanging out on some, conference call or something like that. And all of a sudden a two-time World Cup winner just hops on from, her backyard, just hanging out.
Sure. It would have been nice if Ronaldinho would have called from prison.
From prison, dude. Imagine we were his only phone call. how lit is that, dude? He's like, I ain't even trying to get out, dog. I just want to say what was good. I just made this phone call to say it was good.
I don't need to talk to no lawyers. Get the Gully Squad on the phone.
Ew, dog. What are my lawyers going to do? I did this shit.
All right, so please join Gully Squad. Go to soccercooligans.com and hit the Join Gully Squad button. I promise you, it is as fun as these breaks. We have a good time with it, and you'll have unique experiences and really cool things, and you'll help the show grow. So please do that. Soccercooligans.com and click on Join Gully Squad.
And that's right. We're still here with Allie and Ashlyn. We were talking a little bit about sort of that focus that you need to have. When you see some of the sort of the rookies or the younger players come into the squad, do you pull them aside and be like, look, here's how to not give a shit. Okay. Like we interviewed Rose Lavelle, and I think we were the first person on her media day, and she looked like, at the beginning of the interview, she looked like she was staring at a ghost. She was like, oh my God,
No, that's just
that's true. Yo, she is wild white. Okay? She couldn't play in Orlando, right? I don't think she could play in Orlando. She'd look like a lobster. But so she's just like fresh-eyed and young. Is it sort of just like commonplace, or do you guys pull them aside and like mentor them a little bit about some of the shit you're gonna take for A, being an athlete, and B, being a female athlete in a sport like soccer in the U.S.?
Yeah, I don't think any of us like pull anyone aside. I mean, for us, it's taken so much to get to this level, and everyone's been through like some shit. Everyone gets it. Everyone is super professional. I mean, I think, you stick with your homies, but when we sit at dinner, everyone's like yucking it up and having good jokes and having a good time. So there's never that like, oh, she's, we need to pull her aside. She's being an asshole. But like that just doesn't happen.
Not at that level.
Yeah, not here.
Oh, there's a couple of names that just popped in Ali's head. We won't ask on camera.
Yeah, no, we don't have time. I'd be here for it.
I'm curious about ever since the World Cup and you know the People magazine spread, just everything, and just your two just rise to kind of notoriety, and you guys are just more generally famous than you were, than you know, like 2 years ago. What's been like one of the craziest things with that came with this celebrity or meeting someone or anything? What's been the biggest surprise for you?
I think the biggest turning point for us was like honestly coming out as a couple last year?
March or something.
Yeah,
last March,
like right before the World Cup. I you know, it was Allie at the time wasn't even on the team.
So I got fired.
That's in the past. That's in the past.
Going.
That happened.
Yeah. Who cares about that?
So, I think once we came out and we started like really like speaking our truth and living our truth and being advocates for our community. And I think that was a big turning point. And, you know, it was crazy because like 2 weeks later, we were back on the team together going to the World Cup. And we were like, wait, what just happened? What? I guess we're just gonna do this, and
we're really gonna test this relationship.
Seriously. So I just think like it became like a new buzz, and then we continued to just, you know, go with it and keep, you know, keep standing up and showing up for the people around us. And you know, clearly the World Cup helped, but I mean, it's not like I'm playing. I mean, she plays more than I do.
Yeah.
I think for us, it was just like really standing for something that's important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we continued through the tournament and after the tournament, you know, more cameras are in your face, more recorders are in your face. And it's like, you want to preach something you believe in and things that matter. So I think we just started sending the right messages and advocating for our community and for women in general and women's empowerment. And I think things now just like have slowly taken off. We wanted to bridge into other, you know, industries. Mm-hmm. So for us, that was like, we sat down, we wanted to talk about branching out and not just staying in this athlete bubble, but actually going into beauty, going into fashion, and how would we merge the gap between that and sport. So that was like our big thing and our big goal. And it's always been a realm that I wanted to dance in. Like, I love fashion. I love beauty. It's a big part of like who I am and my creative side. So yeah, that's kind of like, it's where it's taken us. And it's, you know, we're still in the beginning stages of a lot of things, but I always tell Allie in 10 years, I'm going to be a movie star. Okay.
So, I mean, now that you said that, you might just be, you know what I mean?
I want to ask something, maybe even slightly serious, but like, what did it ever feel like a bit of a distraction to the game? Especially when, like, when we went to the media day, Alexis and I had this conversation. We were like, how much do we want to ask about their relationship and the wedding? We don't want to make them uncomfortable or make them seem like the World Cup is what is the priority right now. Does it ever feel like people were focusing too much on that and not enough on your US athletes?
It didn't really make me think that much into it. I know that it was like a big deal because we were the first couple, you know, ever to really be out on the same team, especially in women's soccer. So
it's not gonna happen in men's soccer. So, anytime soon. It'd be nice.
Unfortunately, I mean, you can't be yourself, which is a shame. Can I ask? I don't know if anyone's ever covered this. How did y'all meet? I mean, I know how y'all met, but how did y'all like flirt with each other? Like, what was that? What was the first step into becoming
like, oh, your dribbling skills?
Because I'm trying to get some, you know what I mean?
I like that.
Oh, you got those reactions?
I know. But you had like the easiest Tinder because don't y'all shower together as athletes anyway? Like,
I'm bad.
I'm like side-eyeing. Like,
don't look at me.
She's looking You're like, are you waving me? No, I was actually swiping. I was swiping right, girl. Right. Let's talk by the lockers. But like, was it a big, was it something that you guys consciously talked about coming out? Because I recall just seeing both of your Instagrams, you clearly were sharing a lot of time together, right? So like, even if it's a relationship, you guys were also clearly friends. How hard was it to make that decision? Is it something you guys sat and talked about? Or did you just know that the time is like, fuck it, we're going to be who we are?
It took Allie a little bit of time to like
because I'm honestly like, it doesn't matter who like I'm dating or who I've dated in the past. Like I never wanted my relationship to be the talk of the town and for everyone to like have an inside scoop and have something to talk about when that's actually pretty sacred to me. And I'm like somewhat of a private person. And I feel like now it's different because we want to be visible to save people's lives. Honestly, like I want to, you know, have our relationship out there because we're giving our fans, our organizations, our friends, our family, everything we have, and especially each other. So we want to be that way. And now it's obviously more accepting. And we want to make it the norm. We want to make it visible. And so I think that my mentality about it changed. Because I usually am really private and I don't love to share every single thing about our life because we do in our sport. I mean, we're public figures. So we share so much of everything else. And so it's nice at the end of the day to like come home and not have to like, you know, post about.
The there's also that little bit of you grew up near DC, right? So like privacy is so important to everyone from DC because it's such a public city. You're like, no, that's under the radar. And they're like, it's just a sandwich, Allie. No one cares that you're eating it.
It's like, are you wearing a wire?
Right.
A little more with Allie and Ashlyn. Thank you so much, by the way, for sitting with us for so long. I don't know what your schedule looks like during a quarantine, but this is I was going to be in that chair if it wasn't for this interview.
We're going to be in that room.
When you look at sort of how your lives have changed after winning the World Cup and how you've kind of become sort of this, like, not just a gay couple icon, but is sort of just a couple icon. Has that created a little bit more stress with so many people sort of looking at you now? Like, y'all have to always be smiling, right? Like, y'all can't really be arguing with each other, right? Like, has it added any additional stress, or do you guys invite sort of this I don't know, this extra spotlight?
I think you're going to get two different answers. I think it's been tough for Allie. You know, we walked out yesterday to walk the park and someone's like, hey, Allie, hey. And I'm like, they know where we live. She freaked. She wants all new shrubs. She wants a whole
concrete wall in front of us.
You need a moat.
I'm like, just wave. It's a child.
You guys won the World Cup. You didn't kill the head of a mafia family.
I'm like, okay, sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, we're trying to like keep a balance, but it's been great. I think here in Orlando, people are so wonderful and respectful and just like, you know, they're jogging by and they're like, hey, love what you do, support you, thanks, and wave, you know, like people are
if you guys lived in Jersey, it'd be a very different reaction. Hey, look who the fuck it is, huh? Look at Allie and Ashlyn. What are you guys doing, huh? You guys want a bacon, egg, and cheese? I'll go get you one. You know, it's very different.
I'd be like, yes, actually. I do.
It's been good, though. It's a good feeling that people, like, really genuinely... I think for me, personally, I love more that people respect the people we are and the things that we do off the field instead of... You never say, like, oh, I love how you saved the ball. It's like, hey, you know, like, really love what you're doing for our community and stuff like that. So I think that's so impactful. And that's what matters most to me personally. And I know Allie. I think just the impact we've had on our community and the people around us for just like genuinely being our authentic selves and not necessarily it being about.
It's so funny because when I brought up that I was interviewing you guys to my wife, she was like, oh, ask her what Anna Wintour said, you know, which is. Like, that's where we're at now. I'm like, you know, they won a World Cup, right? You want to know what a lady with bangs asked? People, they won a World Cup. You know?
There's like the soccer people, like the fans and supporters who like just want to talk about soccer and just like love us for, you know, being on, being on the national team or Orlando Pride. But then there's the other half who's just like,
yeah, they play like, soccer?
Wait, what do you do? Yeah.
Well, yeah. it's a thing we kind of deal with, especially as comedians. We're trying to like merge these two worlds, but these two worlds have no interest in each other. You know what I mean? Like we're never going to convert comedy fans to start liking soccer. But what tends to happen is when people kind of like you that are in multiple worlds, we're starting to see even comedian friends of ours, you know, they heard that we were talking to you guys and they're like, you know, it was Lisa Traeger. What did Lisa Traeger,
who's been on Netflix, she's a big name. She's like, oh my God, you're going to talk to them. She's like, immediately, she's like, ask him, how is Ashlyn going to get her hair colored in this time?
I know. Look at this. Jesus. I have to do
Lisa Traeger, one of the funniest comedians, immediately became a fangirl and started asking, how is she going to get her hair colored? Like, you guys are just like, you're known for so many different things. I got a question for my wife here. First of all, where do you get your onesie PJs? And also, what's your favorite skincare product? Are you more of a face cream or a face oil person? And I just found out that there's two different types of things you can put on your face.
Okay, so my onesie jumpsuit from Nike, that was a collab with a specific designer as well. So I got it off of Nike.
It was a collab with Oshkosh Bagosh.
Right. Fair. And then we both use face cream because oil, I feel like personally, it just clogs up my pores. Okay. And we can't.
I'm naturally a very oily person, so I don't do anything. I actually just splash water on my face.
Your face will
I splash hot water on my face. That's the, I've never put soap on my face.
That just makes me so worried for your hygiene. That just really.
Look, how am I? What you really?
I'm disgusted.
You know, every once in a while, we'll wear makeup for like stuff like this, and I don't know how to take it off, so I use like the wipes, and then I guess I'm fine. Everyone is like, "No, your face is still where you still have tons." I think I use like one of the wipes that you would use to clean car tires once on my face.
Oh, so you're admitting?
Oh, absolutely. I'm 75 years old. Are you kidding me?
Look at you guys.
I love.
Are you crossing into the beauty world?
Oh, can you imagine? Like, yo, what's up? What up? Check out my new makeup line, my guy.
I mean, well, let's just hope it's better than water.
It is. It's just water, but they don't know. So a little eucalyptus in there. Yeah. Next thing you know, I'm making a little bit of money, huh?
And we have our gully squad. Ali, you have one of the gulliest shirts. We gave you one. And so you know, the gully lifestyle. Yeah, we got to send one to you as well. We have a gully squad, which are our most dedicated fans, and they sent in a bunch of questions. We have a question here from Kevin Brothers. He asks, which one of you is more competitive?
Ooh.
You might even compete about who's more competitive as well. So,
I think I don't know. We're both pretty competitive. It's tough. Like, if we're on the 5v5 team, or we're on opposing teams in 5v5, I probably won't talk. If like her team beats my team, I probably won't talk to her until like done.
Amazing.
I'm like, I need
we're
a second.
We're real.
Yeah.
That one from Peter Garcia. He says, how will the dynamic of club play change as you see European, Mexican, and South American clubs investing more in the women's game? And do you see Club World Cup becoming a big competition in the women's game? Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah, awesome question.
Yeah, I mean, you're noticing that even in the World Cup, like Spain has really put a lot of money into their women's team and their women's league. And now you're noticing like how good they are. I mean, I think that was one of our toughest games in the World Cup. And, you know, they just came out of nowhere. You know, no one really spoke about Spain's women's side for years. And I just think like, even when you think of Italy and them investing in their women's league, and then you think about the Germans, they invest so much in their women's league. So you're going to constantly see the growth, you know, continue, the parity to continue to even out. And it's not going to be this big drop off just because they're putting money into the women.
Does he have any interest, I wonder, to be a commissioner or president?
You know what? I'll do it. All right. As long as everyone uses my guy.
Great question. Great idea.
We interviewed a woman's professional player in Costa Rica, and she was telling us how she still has to have a full-time job and they have to get up and train at 5 a.m. Her name is Jessica Quiroz, who plays for Herediana. So it's very difficult for a lot of people, but I'm glad that seeing that a lot more people are starting to invest.
We had another question from Chad Benty, and I'll add one as well. He asked, what was Breck Shea's wedding gift? Don't know if you want to say what it was, but I'll generally just ask, what was your favorite wedding gift? What was like the, something you really, really appreciated?
Yeah, if Breck gave you something that came in a bag and is illegal, do not talk about it on the show.
Yeah, I was on the dance floor all night, so I don't know what was going on near the water down at the cigar bar.
Yeah. Just slipped and fell over there. Something just happened.
I think we decided to do a honeymoon fund to go on like our dream honeymoon. So everyone just put money towards that, which was incredible.
Yeah, either like a dinner.
Oh, that's awesome. Or like did you do it already?
Activity.
Yeah.
No, we went right into the camp.
We were in training.
Would you be willing to say where that is? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, I think ideally we want to go to the Maldives and do like a kind of tour of Bora Bora and Indonesia, Tahiti.
All right. Yeah.
She wants to sit on the beach. I want to surf. So we got to kind of do
that. Mine would be a slice shot. You know what I mean? Give me a massage at a slice shop.
I don't know. Breck gave us a card, and
I don't remember.
I think a gift towards that trip.
Yeah. Okay. I'm from the East Coast. We give each other like the envelope full of money, and then we give it to the old lady to sit with a pillowcase. I'm not even making that up. That's 100% what happened. It was great. It was like Goodfellas.
I love that.
All right. We did it. Another one in the books. Thank you so much, Ali and Ashlyn. Unbelievable. Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you guys want to plug or mention before we wrap up?
Yeah, I just think at this point with what's going on right now, stay the fuck home, bitch.
You know what?
That is gold.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You thought I was going to stay there for a minute.
I was like, oh, look at Shakespeare over here.
Oh, about to drop.
Okay, bringing that locker room World Cup energy. You love it.
Yeah. All we need is Allie spraying everyone with beer while you say that.
We got some of that too.
It's been an absolute honor having you guys.
Thank you so much. So, guys, we always wrap the show the standard way. So, for Ali Krieger, for Ashlyn Harris, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
The Cooligans!